I'm your host, Donna Hawkins. Now, the Silent Witness International Initiative. In 1990, a group of women artists and writers, upset about the growing number of women in Minnesota being murdered by their partners or acquaintances, did come together with several other women's organizations to form Arts Action Against Domestic Violence. And women felt an urgency to do something that would speak out against the escalating domestic violence in their state. Something that would commemorate the lives of the 26 women whose lives had been lost in 1990 as a result of domestic violence. After much brainstorming, they decided to create 26 freestanding, life-sized red wooden figures, each one bearing the name of a woman who once lived, worked, had neighbors, friends, family, children, whose life ended violently at the hands of a husband, ex-husband, partner, or acquaintance. A 27th figure was added to represent those uncounted women whose murders went unsolved or were erroneously ruled accidental. The organizers called the figures the Silent Witnesses. And on February 18, 1991, more than 500 women met at a church across the street from the Minnesota State Capitol with the newly constructed witnesses lined up at the front of the sanctuary. The women formed a silent procession, escorting the figure single file across the street, up the steps, and into the State Capitol Rotunda for public statements and a press conference. The sheer volume of space the figures occupied spoke of their power and the loss. The Silent Witness exhibit was officially launched. And in mid-1994, to set a larger goal, the formation of a national initiative dedicated to the elimination of domestic murders, starting with the creation of the Silent Witnesses. And now we have exhibits in all 50 states. And the goal of the Silent Witness National Initiative is to become zero by 2010. No more murders. Zero domestic murders by the year 2010, which is right around the corner. And the hope was born. The healing was already beginning to happen in the moment. And so now there are many states who, all the states and other international organizations do have Silent Witness exhibits. And the goals of the Silent Witnesses are remembering to honor the women who were murdered by domestic violence, awareness to raise awareness worldwide of the extent of domestic violence, advocacy to connect people with successful programs for ending the violence, and data collection and statistics to show how and when we are successful. In the strategies for remembering and awareness, Silent Witness includes displays. Now here's a description of the Silent Witnesses again. Silent Witness includes displays of life-size red wooden figures of women who've been murdered in acts of domestic violence, with breastplate shields giving each woman's name and her story. And here in South Dakota, we actually have three men, who are part of our Silent Witness Awareness Project. In the strategies for advocacy, Silent Witness promotes projects research-based, results-oriented, successful, replicable, and cost-effective. And so the promotion of all states has shown the success of that, as all states do have their Silent Witness projects, as do reservations. And in here in South Dakota, the Oglala Lakota, that's the Pine Ridge Reservation, and the Sichangu Lakota on the Rosebud Reservation have their own Silent Witnesses. And those are women who were from the area, lived in the area, and have lost their lives on the reservations. And so each one of those has their own Silent Witness project. silent witnesses, as I said, is in all 50 U.S. states on some of our reservations, and has exhibits in 15 other countries. 40 other countries are involved through the internet and email newsletter. And if you would like more information about the Silent Witness Project, you can go to info@silentwitness.net, or you can access www.silentwitness.net. And of course, the mission of the Silent Witness Initiative is to promote peace, healing, and responsibility in adult relationships in order to eliminate domestic murders in the United States by the year 2010. And the vision is to promote successful community-based domestic violence reduction efforts in order to reach zero domestic murders by 2010. And when you go and access the websites, you can look at results of projects and look at projects that are successful in reducing or eliminating domestic violence in the courts and the community, churches. You can look at state results on reducing each state's domestic homicide rates for women. And as we've learned, fortunately, through the years, when a woman is in a violent relationship and she decides to make that move and leave that relationship, that is the most dangerous time for her. And that's where many of the homicides occur. And we have had seen those stories in the papers and heard them on the radio here in South Dakota a couple of years ago in Rapid City. This happened. A woman had just received her protection order. An order of protection means that you go to the court, you file for an order of protection, and the batterer must follow that order of protection, and he may not be near her at any place, not just at the home, but any place in public where she may be. And she had just filed that order of protection, was home for 2 hours, and he broke into her home and killed her. So when we look at, and we say this over and over, and we've talked about this, of course, on this program, why do women stay? That's the question asked. Why do women stay? And the question should be, why are batterers allowed to continue to hurt her? So first of all, it's so important to reframe our thinking around domestic and sexual violence issues. Really take a heartfelt look at that, real critical look at that, and reframe our thinking, reframe our questions. Not why does she stay, but why is he allowed to harm her, and many times, and the children. So to encourage our listeners to really think about these things. And, I visited about this the other day, last Thursday, and we have, we do have healthy relationships. And not every relationship is one that has violence in it. We do have healthy relationships, and we do have healthy men out there. And so, my challenge is for you to step up, talk to your brothers. Talk to your brothers and help them to see that harming women and or children, this is something that doesn't belong to us and didn't belong to us in the past, many generations ago, and we don't need to carry that with us. And so I bring that challenge to my brothers out there to talk to one another and to encourage one another to treat women well. Now, the Silent Witnesses, we have October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and that's right around the corner. Today is the 11th, and so we have a couple of weeks left in the month, And October, of course, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we do a lot of educational activities. We have Take Back the Night Vigil and Walk in Wagoner. And we do have some fundraising activities that are associated with continuing to bring you education and presentations and awareness of what domestic violence is and how it impacts our lives. So we will be talking about that, and we will be having flyers out real soon so people know what activities will be happening, what time, what day, where we're going to meet, and all of those things. And every year we go over to Wagoner. And for our listeners who are familiar with our area, Wagoner is the little hub here, for little shopping hub, I suppose. It's not a big city, but it is our town over there. And we do the Take Back the Night Vigil. We have the silent witnesses there. We usually have two or three silent witnesses with us. And they are placed there as we do our opening, as we do our opening prayers, as we talk about the evening and why we do the Take Back the Night Vigil. So we remember those women who have lost their lives in domestic situations. And we remember the women who are currently in those violent situations. And we offer support, and we honor the women who continue to live their life under many, many difficulties when in a battering situation, and continue to try to maintain their home life and to protect their children as well. And we honor and recognize those women who are not with us anymore. We also carry those silent witnesses with us on that walk from the park to the gymnasium. And so we try to go through, that means that we go through most of the town, right down the main street into South Housing and on over to the gymnasium, where we have the feed and we have speakers, and we also have the silent witnesses present there with us. And you will see the silent witnesses, these life-size red cutouts of a woman. And also, like I said, in South Dakota, we have three men who are represented that lost their lives in a violent relationship, due to a violent relationship. And also we have three children that are represented here in South Dakota. Their mother and the three children were killed by the father. And we invite you to stop when you see those silent witnesses, because they will be located at the casino. As you walk into the casino, we have a silent witness at Indian Health Service, at the courts, and placed throughout the communities down at Tribal Hall. And so I do urge you, when you see the silent witnesses, to be respectful of them, because they are actual representation of the women and the children and the men who have lost their lives because of violent relationships. And each one does have a, like a breastplate, and on that it's a story of how they've lost their life. So we certainly encourage you to read those to understand what a battering relationship, where that can lead to. And once again, to be respectful, because we are most respectful when we have the silent witnesses with us, and because we know that their spirits are with us and that their lives meant so much, and their lives still continue to help us to understand domestic violence, to understand battering, to understand why it is that batterers are continued to be allowed to live within relationships and not be accountable for their actions. And of course, I know we have listeners out there, and we say this every time, because the question is always asked, well, what about women who batter? And yes, there are women who batter, but the majority, the very vast majority of batterers are male. So it's that's a fact. And that's why we need to address this and be able to talk about these things in a very open and honest way. So we continue to bring these issues before you, and we ask that you give a great thought and to listen to these things with good intentions and with an open heart, because we Indian women are dying. Indian women are being murdered, and nobody, well, of course I can't say nobody, but it is not a priority. Our lives are not a priority, really, for any agency. And so we ask our brothers to assume your original positions as protectors, and to be able to do that in a really good way for us. So we will talk about these things every week, and we will talk about different issues, but because October is coming up, and because you're going to be seeing these life-size red figures of women, children, and men, now you know what they are for. They are the Silent Witness Initiative, and they are there to help us to be good to one another, to not accept violence in our homes, in our communities, in our nations, within our tribes. Once again, I just ask you to be very respectful when you are reading the stories of the Silent Witnesses. And what we're going to do today is I have one of our newest interns with me, and her name is Melanie, and I'm going to ask her just to slide on up to the microphone, Melanie, and we need to talk directly into it. Don't be afraid to get close to it. And her and I are going to read some of the stories that you will see throughout the community as we move into October and beyond October, because this is not an issue just for 1 month, of course. This is an issue that we need to deal with, we need to confront, and we need to be honest about on a daily basis, because we do not want to lose more of our sisters, our aunties, our grandmothers, our daughters, our sons, our brothers. Because it's not just women from a certain age to a certain age, like from 21 to 32, who are being abused, who are losing their lives. We're talking about many elders as well, many elders, and many children who certainly see the violence and many times also become the victims of the violence in many different ways. But we really do need to keep the focus as much as we can on women, because it is women who are losing our lives. We are in very grave danger. And so, again, I'd like to introduce Melanie. And Melanie, before we start reading, I'd like you to just let our listeners know who you are and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Melanie. I come all the way from Massachusetts to hang out in Lake Andes with you guys.
Oh, that's great. And Melanie is an intern doing an internship here with us. And you're going to be here how long?
Until December.
Okay, until December. So you, all of those who participate in the Candlelight Vigil, the Take Back the Night Vigil in October, so you'll meet Melanie. And she's a wonderful young woman. And she's new to our community here and will be with us for a short while. But she's going to contribute to the well-being of our community. So we always appreciate the interns who come here and spend time with us. And so Melanie is going to help me read from the South Dakota Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Silent Witness Initiative. And once again, the witnesses are red because it is the color of our life's blood, the way in which we are all united, no matter our race, creed, or culture. And the shields are placed over the heart, our life's rhythm. And on these shields, that's where you'll find the story of each silent witness. I'm going to have Melanie begin with Linnell Fallis.
30-year-old Linnell Fallis lived in the Lower Brule. Her former boyfriend, Evan Grassrope, had beaten Linnell. She obtained a protection order against him and had him arrested on domestic assault charges. On Wednesday, April 28, 1999, just one day after his release from jail, he came to Linnell's house. He used a 9mm handgun from his job as a security guard to shoot Linnell and her sister, Jackie Johnson, in the head. He then shot himself. Three young children in the house witnessed the double murder-suicide.
Jackie Johnson. 26-year-old Jackie Johnson loved her sister, Linnell Fallis. In the late April of 1999, Jackie moved into her sister's home in Lower Brule to support her sister. Linnell's former boyfriend, Evan Grassrope, had recently beaten Linnell. He was arrested and a protection order was in force. On Wednesday, April 28, 1999, just one day after his release from jail, he came to Linnell's house. He used a 9mm handgun from his job as a security guard to shoot Linnell and Jackie in the head. He then shot himself. Three young children in the house witnessed the double murder-suicide.
Gordon Rotel. Gordon, age 67, lived in rural Colombia. On April 20th, 1993, he was beaten to death by his male companion, Randy Wilson. Wilson pleaded guilty to the first-degree murder and is currently serving a life sentence.
The Uncounted Women. These women represent the deaths of Native and non-Native women due to domestic violence that went unreported as such, possibly ruled accidental. Perhaps she was too ashamed and frightened to tell anyone she lived in daily fear. She could have been your neighbor, your friend, your loved one. We will be reading more of these stories, of how these women, children, and men lost their lives because of a violent relationship as we move into October and throughout October. Once again, please join us as we look at the different issues every week. We are going to do one more thing before we wrap up this afternoon session. This is for a woman who has been battered, and we're going to tell you what safety means and what accountability means. And we're just going to read three of them at this program, then we're going to wrap up for the day. And then we'll also be continuing to look at these as well. And so, Melanie, if you can begin.
Safety means being protected from his violence everywhere.
Accountability means law enforcement and the legal system enforce the law regardless of the relationship.
Safety means having her children with her and being able to keep them safe.
Accountability means the batterer can't manipulate the system to control her or blackmail her into returning.
Safety means being heard and believed.
Accountability means stopping him from being violent to her in any way. I know this is a big issue, and there's a lot of information that we ask you to think about. And so I want to continue that challenge to our brothers out there. And I want to invite you to listen to our programming on domestic violence and sexual violence. I know it's not a pleasant subject. Of course it's not. We're talking about very violent behavior. And as we did today, what happens when that behavior escalates into murder? And so I thank you for listening to us this afternoon. And for all of those who may be experiencing a relationship that is violent, there are resources available to you. And one of those resources is the Women's Lodge in Lake Andes. And virtually almost every fair-sized community does have a shelter or a shelter program. And on each reservation in South Dakota, we do have a shelter or a shelter program. And to find out that information, you can go to www.southdakotacoalition.org. that is SouthDakotaCoalition.org. And on that site, it has all of the programs, and you can access those and see where one that is close to you, should you need help or should you know someone who needs help. And so that is our program for today. We will rebroadcast on Thursday. And I want to thank you for being with us and for staying with us as we talk about these very difficult issues. We don't have a choice but to talk about them. So thank you. And enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Hey, hey, oh.